I think back to the most successful offense since World War II a while back was the wing T, you know, and there was a system to the wing T. There was the trap, there was the sweep, there was the waggle. So you had three plays that looked exactly the same. I've kind of tailored that, some of those old school principles. You know, wing T is obviously an offense that I respect to the utmost, and with the inside zone. We had the inside zone, and we had the boots or the nakeds off of it, and we had the reverse off of it, and you know, you had a system to it where I think that's kind of like the air raid.
On today's episode of Coaching Coordinator Podcast, we dive into building successful programs through relationships, leadership, and sound systems for teaching the game. Today's guest is Chad Murphy, the head coach of the 2021 state champions at Winton Woods High School in Ohio. With a wealth of experience and a deep passion for the game, Coach Murphy shares his insights in his coaching journey, emphasizing the importance of love, relationships, and developing strong team dynamics. We uncover the core principles that have led Coach Murphy to success both on and off the field. Be sure to stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the episode. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's podcast, we're going to talk about developing a team through relationships, through leadership, through the weight room, and discussing all the things that our coach who's joining us today has done to create a successful program at Winton Woods in Ohio. They were the 2021 state champion, and they do a great job there every year, a contender to be running deep into the playoffs and competing for a championship. So, Coach Chad Murphy, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, I appreciate you very much for Keith for having me on.
Yeah, we met a little time back through a mutual connection, and so I'm really glad we're able to get this together and get you on the podcast. I think that was a couple of months ago. We've been working to find some time here to do it, so I appreciate you taking the time today. And I want to dig right into the core of your program and the core of what you've done as a coach, because there's a lot of things you can focus on a coach. And I think you've really focused in on something that's important, and that's the relationships. And for you, this really all comes from things you learned from your father, who you described as a blue collar guy, a steel worker, a Vietnam vet, a guy who showed love, maybe tough love. But for you, it's important that you're showing this love to your program, to your players as well.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, I'm blessed to be at a program that football has been a huge deal for a long, long time. You know, we're talking about Winton Woods, 1991, I believe, was the first year, and they combined Green Hills and Forest Park, and they had good football between those two schools a long, long time ago, and for over 30 years, you know, Winton Woods has been a really, really good football program. So obviously blessed to be here, blessed to be where my feet are, and I've kind of had that approach everywhere I've been. First head coaching job was at Northwest High School in Cincinnati, and they hadn't had a winning season in 21 years. And here I am taking over, you know, first year head coach. And year two, we were 7-3, obviously did something they hadn't done in 21 years. And then year three ended up making the playoffs when it used to have to make them, and, you know, did something they hadn't done in 22 years. So got State of Ohio Coach of the Year, took off to Hamilton from there, and just, you know, had a tough time at Hamilton, getting over the hump, spent 6 years there. Ended up getting fired, took a step back, went to Moeller for a year as an assistant, came to Winton Woods as an assistant for a year, and ended up getting a head coaching job here when Coach Parker took the Princeton job. So blessed to be where my feet are, have always been blessed to be where my feet are. You know, win, lose, or draw, I have the opportunity to do something that not many people get an opportunity to do, and that's coach the game of football. You know, it's a game that I love. It's a game that I think has so many things that are great for kids to go through during their adolescent years. And if they have the ability to play college, you know, it's a great sport. Teamwork, hard work, accountability, just all those things. So, yeah, I just feel like relationships have probably been the foundation for myself. I think, you know, as a head coach, our program is, you know, we start with love. I mean, we're gonna love our players, and I think everything we do, you know, starts at the top. And I'm gonna love these guys, and whether he's scoring 50 touchdowns a year or whether he doesn't touch the field, I'm gonna treat him the same. I'm gonna love him. I'm gonna care about him, because this game's gonna end sooner or later for everybody.
Coach, it's always easy to love those players who come to you and are open to it. You know, but that's not true of every kid that we're able to touch in our program. That some of those, it is really cracking that tough shell. Maybe they come to you with issues of not trusting with whatever may have happened to them previously in their life. How do you especially build those relationships with the players that maybe they're not as easy to build those relationships with?
Yeah, usually those guys are the ones that need it the most. There's been an old saying for a long, long time that I honestly has probably been one of the foundations of my coaching is, you know, there's some guys that need the game of football more than the game of football needs them. And, you know, we all have these fancy clothes, and we all have these things on, you know, painted on our walls and signs hanging up. But when it comes to actually living them, I think, you know, those guys have been the ones that usually I've ended up building the best relationships with. And, you know, usually those guys are needed the most. So I just think it's time. We're an extension of parents. If they have the two-parent home, that's phenomenal. I'm an extension of that. If they have a one-parent home, I mean, I'm an extension of that. So just trying to love and caring. You know, I think when people know that somebody cares about them, when people know that somebody loves them, I think we're going to go a little harder for that. I just think that's something natural. You know, it's a family thing. Families are going to have arguments. Families are going to have disagreements. And this football family is just the same. So it's time. It's all about the kids. I'd like to believe that no matter where I've been in the last 20-plus years, that these guys know I care about them. Still got great relationships with kids from 20 years ago. And just had a guy stop by the house the other day, Nate Helsley. I had him at Monroe back in early 2000s and made it to the Final Four. His class was a big, big part of turning Monroe around, made it to the Final Four. And he's got his PhD now, and he's a doctor in medicine and things like that. And he stopped by the house the other day, I think it was Sunday. And, you know, those relationships is the name of the game. You know, everybody wants to win. Everybody wants to win championships and win state championships and things like that. But when push comes to shove, it's all about them relationships.
Definitely. How are you coaching that up with your assistants, especially maybe a younger assistant who you bring into the program, and making sure that amongst all these things we learn and trying to be an expert on the technical and tactical part, that you're able to coach them up on being an expert and building those relationships?
Yeah, I think obviously conversation, meetings, you know, having your philosophy on paper, all that stuff's great. And everybody does it. Everybody has them written down and looks fancy and looks this and that. But I believe it's the modeling of behaviors to me is most important. So I try to model everything, whether it be a blue collar mentality, whether it be showing up consistently on time and things like that. I think modeling the behaviors to those young coaches is one of the most important things.
So the other aspect of this is that you want your players to lead as well, and you need to develop those guys. And I mean, leadership, again, it's about relationships. And you have a program one time per week in the off season that you're getting together with these guys. So what's the curriculum? What's the agenda for what these guys do on a week-to-week basis?
Like everybody also talks about, player led is where it's at. You know, if a coach has to tell a team every move to make, number one, that's less time the coach is actually coaching football, whether it be X and O schematics, things like that. So obviously a player led team is ideal. You know, I see that quote out there all the time, and there's so much truth to that. You know, this time of year, just like in college, you know, just like, you know, every level, you know, we're trying to develop leaders. You know, some guys are going to be more natural leaders, but I do believe that leadership can be taught. and can be improved upon. So yeah, we get together once a week. You know, we have a period during the day called Warrior Time, and we get together with our going to be seniors, our 2025s, and we sit around and we talk. You know, I think open discussion and hearing what they have to say is important. I think that's important to leadership too. This is not a dictatorship. I'm going to listen to our guys. I'm going to talk to our guys. Not saying I'm always going to agree with them, but I think, you know, having those conversations and sometimes uncomfortable conversations is vital. Jeff Jansen has a leadership step-by-step, chapter-by-chapter, and I've used it for probably 5, 6, 7 years now. And, you know, just like anything else, even if one guy gained something from that, it was worthwhile. You know what I mean? Hopefully it's more than one guy, but, you know, I believe in it. It's something I believe in, and I think it's something that's going to pay dividends to these guys, you know, way after they're done playing football as well.
When you have those sessions, you mentioned, you know, you are sitting around and talking. Do you go into that with, hey, here's our topic today, and do you have in general, I guess, a list of these things that you're going to work through?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Chapter one, you know, we're going to define leadership. These kids are juniors in high school. A lot of them played together for years. Some of them are new. We start as simple as defining leadership. That's where we started, and having these guys provide examples of good leadership, thinking about some good leaders that they've had throughout their life, whether that be a parent, whether that be a neighbor, uncle, a teacher, you know, whatever it is. And that's kind of how we form who we are. Taking, I like this, I'm going to believe in that. And then I don't like this. You know, I think my first 6 years coaching high school football, 2001 or 2002 at Monroe, I was there 6 years. I think I coached for four guys in 6 years to start my career. And looking back now, you know, I was part of an 0-10 football team and as an assistant right out of college, and had been a team captain in high school, had been a team captain in college, and got to coach, like I said, coach for four guys in 6 years. And that's when I began to form my philosophies and update my philosophies on things, what I liked, what worked and what didn't work. And I really think sometimes learning what not to do is just as important as learning what to do.
I love the Jeff Jansen stuff. We used his captain's manual, I think it was.
Yep.
And did the same type of thing with a group 1 year and going through that. Now, I know it started out with, okay, this is the stuff we're going to discuss today and encourage them to read those things. But ultimately, I found when we got to the discussion part, you know, we might just spend a few minutes in the discussion. If you could provide that idea, that topic at the beginning, like they'll take off in a direction that you start to learn a lot about those kids and what their style of leadership is going to be. And even some of the things that maybe, hey, okay, I see where I need to coach them up. So I think it's always good to start with something as the framework, but those things do kind of start to take a life of your own. And I think my advice, I don't know what you would find, is to go ahead and ride that wave, because there's a lot you're going to learn rather than if you're trying to always bring them back to, hey guys, we're talking about this today.
You're exactly right. And those kind of informal conversations that sprout out are, you know, those are powerful. And just like you said, you know, one chapter that we may be able to get through in one day turns into to lasting three meetings as opposed to one because of those conversations. But in my mind, I think they're vital. And you know, seeing kids step up and, you know, raise their hand that maybe wasn't the most vocal person in your program the year before or the years before, seeing those guys start to raise their hand. And those conversations are what it's all about, you know. Those guys, you know, not just me, but their teammates learning about each a little bit more is as powerful as anything.
The best part about doing these types of things in the off season is those guys have the opportunity to get in the lab, I would say, and start testing out, you know, these leadership things that they're learning in the weight room. And I know you guys really believe in what you're doing in the weight room and the development you have there. So how does this transition for those guys into the weight room? And we'd love to hear about that program as well.
You know, how you do one thing, some things, is how you're going to do everything. So that kind of mentality, you know, that leadership piece obviously transforms right into the weight room. Is your attendance good? Are you punctual? Or are you on time or early? And do you stay late? You know, all those things that everybody's heard about all their life and that we're reviewing in these leadership manuals, you know, their teammates, you know, these going to be seniors, their teammates need to be seeing that. We just had that talk yesterday. It's impossible for a kid to stand in front of his teammates or his peers and talk about leadership and talk about this isn't how we do things here or this or that if they're not doing it themselves. And the consistency piece, we had a good discussion yesterday on the consistency piece because, you know, if I'm doing it, we call them summertime guys. I mean, you know, some of the time they're doing this, some of the time they're doing, you know what I mean? Consistency is what everybody, no matter your profession, you know, consistency is the piece and holding guys accountable consistently. And I'm 46 years old and been a head coach for 13, then coaching over 20 years. And staying consistent is a battle that a 46-year-old has to do, let alone a high school student or player. It's big. I think it's in the weight room, you know, I've got a lot of certifications. You know, I went and got my, you know, USA weightlifting. I went and got this. And there was a point in time in my life where I was pursuing my CSCS and thought I might go that route. I have a good friend that's been a Division I strength coach for about the last 10 years. I have some pretty good resources. So I try to stay on top of the strength conditioning piece as much as I do the X's and O's and the leadership. And I really enjoy the weight room. I think, you know, football teams are formed there just like we've always heard about. I really do think we can, number one, find some positive things that individuals do in there, not just the amount of weight they lift, but how they lift it, their technique, their attention to detail, whether it be, you know, how many reps they were supposed to do, or whether it be elbows are supposed to be high there, or all the little things that we're going to have to also correct and coach up on the football field. And especially a lot of the behaviors, we're kind of nipping those in the butt during the wintertime and during that off-season program. So obviously getting bigger, faster, and stronger. Sorry to use the BFS in there, but, you know, that's what it's all about. But really it's all about developing the leadership, continuing to develop the attention to detail, pushing through adversity. You're not always going to feel 100% on a Friday night game. So if you're not feeling as good as you should on a weightlifting day, pushing through those weightlifting sessions when you're not 100% will give you the confidence to play on a Friday night when you're not 100%. So I just think there's so many behaviors or things that we can kind of go at and work to fix during the winter, spring months in preparation for summer and fall camp.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser. I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year. Coach, taking that out onto the field, and for you, primarily it's been the offensive side. Quarterback play is a big area where you've developed some expertise, and I know you guys in the past have been able to throw the ball around. And I mean, going back to mid-2000s when people necessarily weren't throwing the ball all over the field, you guys were doing that in Ohio, which that's always a challenge in Ohio because we hit October and you never know what you're going to get on a Friday night with the weather. But those kinds of things. Talk to us about your offense a little bit. Talk to us about what you guys are doing that help you from strategy and schematic perspective?
Early 2000s, I had the opportunity to be offensive coordinator my second year coaching. Was a quick game guy in high school and played for a couple of colleges that threw it around a little bit. But, you know, have also been a big inside zone team for a long, long time. That's been a bread and butter. Obviously, you know, we've done some great things at some of the places I've been offensively, you know, some records at Hamilton, some records at Monroe, and we've got some records here now at Wynn Woods. But taking what the defense gives us pertaining to if we can throw it a little better this year, we're going to throw it. If we can run it a little better, we're going to run it. And then trying to tailor yourself. Our first year we came in here in 2021, you know, we threw it around pretty early in the season and we were 1-2 and 4-3 once upon a time that season. And then ended up figuring out who we were, and that was pounding a rock. You know, the formula here at Wynn Woods have always been running the football and playing great defense. So we kind of, you know, we tailored to what we did well, what we did better, not what we liked, but maybe what our offense or what our kids were more able to do. And by getting that figured out, running the football and playing great defense, you know, we ended up winning a state championship and threw for 33 yards in the state championship. So in 2005 or 2006, pretty close to 20 years ago, we had teams that were throwing for 3,000. But we wouldn't win the state championships and then came here and pounded the rock and played great defense, obviously, like they have for years. And we have a great defense coordinator here, Carlton Gray, one of the best players to ever play here. But I'm high school All-American, UCLA All-American, Seahawks for 8 years. So we're blessed to have him back with us running our defense. But we won a state championship that year and threw the ball for 33 yards in the state championship game. And then we come back the next year in 2022. And we go 12-0. We're 12-0, first undefeated season in school history. You know, thinking we're going to be potential back-to-back state championship team. We throw the ball for over 2,000 yards that season, and breaking receiving records and single season passing records and things like that. We get beat in the third or fourth round by a very good Kings team that ended up going to the Final Four. So obviously throwing the football, quick game and a little bit of drop back. I've been a little bit of an air raid guy since 2001, 2002. You know, just studied that and. Hal Mummy and those guys, and I got old VHS tapes and you know, so always have had a ton of respect for the air raid, but also am a lover of inside zone, and in the last probably 10 years have fallen in love with power and counter a little bit more. So love the game, love researching the game, love studying the game, love talking to coaches and, you know, different ways to do things and things like that. So it's been great. It's been fun, learned a lot. And, you know, it's a continuous process. I mean, 46 years old and still trying to better myself, and still trying to learn and do everything that I'm asking our kids to do.
So with the guys who dig into the air raid, whether you continue to use it or not, and obviously you guys have evolved, like you said, winning a state championship, throwing the ball for 33 yards, that's not necessarily an air raid team, obviously, but there's the influences of it. And I think the biggest thing that you learn when you study the air raid is a way to practice and a way to make sure that you're organized, because I think that's one of the main frameworks of it. I mean, the plays, you actually see those plays in other offenses, but there's a distinct way of practicing. How much has the air raid philosophy of practice really influenced what you guys do? Again, whether that's running a football heavy in a particular year or throwing it all over the place.
That's a great point. With me, it's more of the system of the way you do things. And by having that system, you're also probably, your organization has improved. As your organization improves, your system improves. So, you know, I think back to the most successful offense since World War II a while back was the wing T, you know, and there was a system to the wing T. There was the trap, there was the sweep, there was the waggle. So you had three plays that looked exactly the same. I've kind of tailored that, some of those old school principles. You know, wing T is obviously an offense that I respect to the utmost, and with the inside zone. We had the inside zone, and we had the boots or the nakeds off of it, and we had the reverse off of it. And, you know, you had a system to it where I think that's kind of like the air raid. You know, there's a system to things, kind of jumping around here, but I love progression reading. Obviously, you got to key defenders in some situations, but I love the idea of progression reading this day and age. I think, you know, obviously teaching coverage is a must, but at the high school level, teaching coverage can be more difficult than at the college and pro level. Obviously, they're more advanced then, but I think you got to teach coverage, but with progression reading, if you do know coverage, now you're ahead of the game. You might be off of one a little sooner, on to two or 1B a little sooner than you would be if you didn't know coverage. You know, I think it's more of the system, no matter what you do, having a system. And I think having a system, it starts with organization and the teaching of it. I think Urban Meyer a while back, you know, when he was at Ohio State, I really was down with his focus on teaching, you know, becoming a better teacher, because we are a teacher. We're a teacher of the game of football and, you know, life, so to speak, obviously. So I think the teaching of things and help, you know, obviously the organization helps the system. So
you hit on something important there. And I love that you brought in the idea of the wing T, and it was one of my first coaching books, the Delaware Wing T, with the subtitle "In Order of Football" by Tubby Raymond and Ted Kempsky.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
the idea, because I really think that is a coaching book. Yes, you're going to go and learn the wing T and the formations and the schemes and all the things that they do. But I think you could strip those things out and just understand the game better and how you sequence plays, how you put together packages, how you look at attacking a defense. It very much like the how we talked about with the air raid. This really, you want to get good at football. The schemes are going to be there. They're going to evolve. There's going to be things you like. There's going to be things that you carry into your menu each year. But what really has to be the consistent framework is the thought processes that you set up behind those things. And those, you know, again, you could study those. I think studying the air raid, if you never intend to run the air raid, will still be a very useful exercise for a coach. The same with grabbing the book, the Delaware Wing T in Order of Football, and reading that thing cover to cover. You're going to learn a lot that's just going to help you become a better coach, because it is about the way you organize things.
Yep, not a doubt. Not a doubt.
Coach, to wind things up here, going back to that idea of love, you talked about it with your players. But an important thing is we got to be taking care of the people at home too. And
yep.
the time that you put into this, I think we all realize this as we get older. Early on, you know, maybe we're focused on all the wrong things and we miss out on some of those. I know it definitely is something that has affected me and the way I thought about my career and the things that I wanted to do. But we'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, the time you have and how you spend it.
Yeah, I've mentioned my dad, and, you know, everybody has their why, you know, my family and my parents and my mom and dad. Like I said, I was blessed with some great folks, and obviously blessed with a great wife and kids. And I never had a son. I have five daughters. So I always think I finally have two grandsons, but I always thought, you know, man, I'm going to treat these guys, this guy or all these guys, like the son I never had, so to speak. And I'd like to believe that, you know, that was the case. Obviously, doing this as long as you've done this, obviously you got some people you didn't throw the ball to enough, so therefore you didn't treat his kid fair. And, you know, you're always going to have that. But that's probably the biggest piece with me. And looking back now, like I told you a little earlier, you know, my youngest daughter is 21. My kids go from 29 to 21. So that's probably, and you could talk to some of the younger guys on my staff. You know, I've had a couple former players here in the last few years that have coached for me. And if their kid has a game on a Saturday morning, they're at their kid's game. You know, I've heard of coaches doing that and this and that. And to me, that's one of the biggest things I can pass along to these guys is get your butt out of here. You know, even if, you know, there's been a year or two here or there where it hurt us as a football team by me kind of being that way. But in the grand scheme of life, man, kids, you know, being there, you know, the parents being there at their kids' games, I've just missed so many games over the years, man. And that's time that you're never going to get back. You know, I'm never going to watch my daughters play soccer again or play basketball again. I'll go watch my grandkids, you know, their kids, but I'm never going to get that time back. And looking back in the 20-some years I've been doing this now, that's probably one of the biggest things that I pass along to my young guys is, man, you got to be present. Even just being there, you know, because that's the way my dad was. My dad was a steel worker, and he'd work doubles. He'd work 16 hours to trade shifts with a guy. Just so he'd work 16 straight hours at a steel mill, AK Steel, so he could come, you know, be at my games. And here I am, coaching other people's kids and trying to be that coach and that father figure to somebody else's kids, and I'm missing my own kids' games. So, you know, there's always, you know, you can't have it all, you know. And But looking back now, that's something that really means a lot to me. If I have a young guy on staff with kids and they're playing sports and things like that, they're at their kids' games on a Saturday morning or leaving practice early or whatever it is, because, you know, in the grand scheme of life, man, that's what it's about. So I try to not only talk about it, but try to live it. And I can think of Tyler Denton and Josh Heron and Rasheen Jones, three coaches that I have coached that are now have been on my staff or are still currently on my staff. And they're present at their kids' games.
Coach, great piece of advice there. I agree with you 100%. Sometimes we learn that the hard way. The young guys out there really take that to heart and figure that part out in this. And I think, you know, that's just going to help you be more productive and help you have a more fulfilling career too, if you're able to give to both sides of that, both the team and your family. So Coach, I really appreciate you taking time here to share these ideas with us on the podcast, and certainly best of luck to you and the Warriors here in 2024.
Yeah, Keith, I appreciate all you've done. I followed you for a long, long time, brother. I appreciate all you do for the game.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1. Emphasize relationships. Coach Murphy highlights the importance of building strong relationships with players regardless of their backgrounds or challenges they may face. You should prioritize creating a supportive and caring environment within your program to foster trust and commitment among team members. Like Coach Murphy, organize regular meetings or sessions where players can openly discuss their thoughts and concerns. Encourage open communication, active listening, and empathy to strengthen the bond between your coaches and players. 2. Develop leadership. Coach Murphy underscores the significance of developing leadership skills among players. Empowering team members to take on the leadership roles not only benefits the team's performance, but also instills valuable life skills. Implement a leadership development program that includes regular sessions focused on leadership principles, team building exercises, and opportunities for players to lead discussions and activities. Encourage players to take ownership of their roles and responsibilities within the team. And give them the reps to do that in the off season, so that when the season hits, they've become better leaders and are able to lead the team. And 3, balance strategy and adaptability. Coach Murphy discusses the importance of adapting strategies based on team strengths and the evolving game situations. You should maintain a balance between having a structured plan and being flexible enough to adjust based on the team's performance. Be sure to conduct regular evaluations of your team's performance, including strengths and weaknesses, to identify areas for improvement and adjustments to your game plans. Encourage players to give feedback and insights on what strategies work best for them, fostering a collaborative approach to game preparation and execution. Look to utilize tools that give you the data you need to see the opportunities for improvements, like those of our partner Modern Football Technology. We've had state champions join us to talk about the benefits of their platform. Be sure to check out our latest episode earlier this week with Florida Atlantic head coach Tom Herman sharing his insight on utilizing Modern Football Technology's platform. Link to all our partners are in the show notes. Follow us at coachingcoordinator.com. Check out our 10% toolkit that highlight the tools we believe in that can help you improve your program on and off the field. Follow us on X @CoachKGrabowski.